Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. It's near the end of the book, page 980, if you picked up one of those brown Bibles on your way in. If you prefer to dial it up digitally, get it on your smart device. Some like holding a book in their hands and doing it the analog way, and then others, it seems more and more of us want to read our Bibles in a digital format. I would have told you 4 or 5 years ago that I was fairly comfortable in the digital world, that I knew what I was doing when I was holding technology in my hand. I was familiar with and felt somewhat at home in the world of social media. That was 4 or 5 years ago. Now I'm not so sure. I've lost some confidence, and not just because I'm not sure what Zuckerberg is doing with my personal information. What has changed, what has eroded my confidence in my ability to handle technology is I now have 2 teenage sons. And as they have gotten older, they have access to pretty much the same technology I have access to. So we're both trying to live in the same world, but now they also have discovered the joys of relentlessly pointing out all the different ways their clueless dad is doing it wrong. For example, I text in complete sentences. I just think it's the right thing to do. At the end of my declarative statements, I put a period. And when I ask a question via text, you're not going to believe this, I like to put a question mark in my text, and when I'm dictating it, I tell Siri to add the question mark. And they think this is absolutely hilarious. They cannot understand why I do this. And I'm not the only one having this experience with their children. I love the screenshot of a mother's text conversation with one of her children. I'll let you read it. If you don't know why that's funny, then you're not at home in the digital world either. So many times I feel like an immigrant in the digital world where my boys, where our children are natives. Digital is not my first language, it's my second language. No matter how hard I try, I never feel completely comfortable in the digital world. Not like my boys do. I don't know all the rules. I don't understand all the nuances. And the harder I try to be cool and fit in, it seems the more I signify that I really don't know how to live in the digital world. Because I'm an immigrant, not a native. And it's hard to be an immigrant. A fish out of water. An outsider. Someone who doesn't quite fit in. We can know this from our own experience, traveling into new worlds, trying to navigate new streams of culture in our world. We can know this from our own experience. We can know it from watching the news. We can know it from reading the Bible. It's the theme, the idea, the difficulty of being a stranger in a strange land is one of the most prominent themes in the scriptures. It shows up all the way through the story in all different kinds of places, including the book of 1 Peter, which we're going to spend some time working through this spring, not only in our adult learning communities. Those of you who went to a class earlier, you know you're already in 1 Peter. We're going to spend some time in 1 Peter in our worship gatherings as well. That's what 1 Peter is about. What it's like to be an outsider, a foreigner, a stranger in a strange land. 1 Peter is a little letter written by the Apostle Peter. Remember him from last week. It's written to a group of churches in a remote region in the Roman Empire. And Peter writes this letter from Babylon or Rome. At the end of the letter, he says, I'm in Babylon, but that means Rome in the first century. And this is how he begins this little letter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered There's already a lot just in that one little phrase that can say more. They're exiles scattered in a variety of places, the provinces of Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those places may not mean anything to us, but back then it meant they were a long way from the center of the Roman Empire. They're in this distant region. He says, this is who I'm writing to. Those of you who are living out there, you're exiles and you're scattered and you've been chosen. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. A lot of religious sounding language here in this part. To be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's the first two verses of the letter. And there's a lot in that opening sentence or two. More than I can cover in one teaching on a Sunday morning. But if you go back to just that first phrase, Peter uses three terms to refer to the Christians to whom he's writing. And these three terms signify to us, they give us a really strong hint of why he's writing this letter and why 2,000 years later, it's still a letter we need to read and wrestle with and spend some time in. The first word he uses is exiles. Some translations may say strangers or aliens. If you have a particularly old translation, it may say sojourners. These words describe the situation of these Christians he's writing to. In the original language, the word that gets translated exiles means someone who is a temporary resident in a city or a province. It's someone who is a non-citizen. Someone who may be living in a particular place, a particular city, and yet it's not really their home. They're exiles, strangers, aliens. And then the second word he uses is scattered. In the original language, the word is diaspora. We've transliterated that. Now we even use that word in English, diaspora. It's not just meaning scattered, it's referring to a specific event, the scattering of the Jewish people from Jerusalem and Judea into the far reaches of the world. And when we put these two terms together, to God's elect, scattered exiles, exiles scattered, scattered exiles, strangers living in the diaspora, scattered exiles, when we put these two words together, it's a callback to one of the most important events in the history of Israel, one of the most important stories in the scripture, the story of Israel's exile from Jerusalem when they are forced to live in Babylon, a foreign land, a strange land among people who do not share their religious values or beliefs or customs or behaviors. It's that great story in the Hebrew scriptures about God's people being called, being forced to be strangers in a strange land. And when Peter refers to these Christians in the first century Roman Empire as scattered exiles, he's tapping into that old, old story about Israel in Babylon. Even though most of the people he's writing to, probably not Jewish followers of Jesus, they're Gentiles. Their heritage is not the Jewish scriptures, and yet he says, now because you're in Jesus, you're in Israel, and you're a part of this old story. So just like the people of old were way back then, you too now are scattered exiles, living as strangers and aliens and foreigners who do not fit in with your surrounding culture. Which is a hard place to be, isn't it? To be living in a world where you don't fit in. One of our fundamental needs as human beings, it seems, is to belong to something bigger than ourselves. We have this need within us to connect and belong to something bigger. It could be a bigger social group or a bigger social club, could be a professional guild or a company or a school, could be a political party, could be our nation, could be an empire. But we have this need to belong. And it seems irresistible. That's why even nonconformists end up hanging out together. Do you know there's a nonconformist club? They have their own oath. Maybe you've heard it. Let me teach it to you, but you got to participate. You repeat after me, okay? So repeat after me. I promise to be a nonconformist. I promise to always be unique. I promise not to repeat what other people say. All right, so now you're in the nonconformist. That's an old Steve Martin joke. We have this need to belong, and it can work in positive ways because this need to belong connects us with other people and we can form meaningful relationships. It puts us in situations where we can accomplish bigger goals than we could by ourselves. So this need to belong, I believe, is God-given, and it's useful, and it can be positive. But it can also work against us because the need to belong can also make us susceptible to pressure from a larger group, to compromise our beliefs, our values, our standards, our way of life, so that we can fit in. We have a need to belong, but we also want to fit in. And belonging and fitting in are not the same thing. Brené Brown, in some of her research and writing and speaking, has spent a good deal of time exploring and explaining the difference between fitting in and belonging. You might think they're the same, but they're not. There's a crucial distinction. She says, based upon her research, and by the way, people who are consumed with the need to fit in tend to be unsettled, depressed, unhappy. Not a great strategy for life. Because she says, based upon her research, fitting in is adjusting our behavior so we'll be accepted by other people. And you can probably think of some times and some examples where that's perfectly appropriate and it's the right thing to do. Yeah, you make adjustments so you can fit in with a larger group of people. But if that is your primary strategy for navigating life, if fitting in is your primary strategy for trying to make yourself feel good about yourself, always changing who you are so that you can be liked and approved of and accepted by others, if that's your fundamental strategy for life, then you can lose your identity. You can lose touch with your authentic self, Brown's language. You can wake up one morning and look in the mirror and not recognize yourself, not know who you are, because you don't know what to say or what to do or what to believe or what to prefer unless you can look around and see what other people are saying and doing and believing and preferring. Because you've made fitting in a habit, a way of life. It's a great way to be miserable. Belonging is not fitting in. We don't have to change who we are to belong. No, here's what belonging is. Belonging is being who we are in a number of different situations. Around a variety of people, you be who you are. You have courage and you have confidence and you have strength to be who you are in any given situation, even if it means you don't always fit in. But you belong. Can think of it this way, quick summary. Fitting in is changing who we are to be accepted. I want you to like me. I want you to accept me. I want you to approve of me, so I'm just going to keep changing. Belonging is showing up and being who we are to make a difference. And it's this distinction between fitting in and belonging that is super helpful to me as I read through 1 Peter. So Peter is writing to Christians who are facing tremendous pressure from their surrounding culture to fit in. They're facing tremendous pressure from the larger group to conform to their neighbor's beliefs, their neighbor's preferences, their neighbor's way of life so that they can fit in. Some of them are even experiencing some persecution. They're suffering because they don't fit in. And Peter writes this little letter to encourage these Christians to stand firm, to be strong, and not compromise their allegiance to Christ just so they can fit in. He has a strategic way he makes his point, which brings me to the third term we find in the opening line of his letter. All of this is in the first line. And that third term is elect. Another way to translate elect is chosen. This word has been the source of a lot of religious debates over the years, needless. Because to be the elect of God simply means to be chosen by God, to be the chosen people of God. And this idea of election, that you as a people have been chosen by God, is at the heart of Peter's strategy for encouraging them to stand firm and remain strong. He does it by reminding them who they are. He does it by reminding them who they are so that they can belong. Yes, he says, you're strangers and you're aliens and you're outsiders. Yes, you're scattered. You don't quite fit in your surrounding culture. And yes, some of you are experiencing tremendous pressure. And yes, some of you are even suffering. Yes, all that's true. That's true. He says, but remember, you are God's elect. You've been chosen by God. You didn't choose God. God chose you. You have been chosen by God. Chosen not because you are better or morally superior to your neighbors. Chosen not because God wants to save you and not save someone else. Chosen not because God wants to bless you and not bless someone else. No, the people of God are chosen by God for a specific purpose, a specific job. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of the story where God starts working with Abraham and Abraham's family and then the nation of Israel. And then he focuses attention on Jesus and then Jesus' disciples. And the disciples begin to start and plant churches. God's strategy has always been to choose to set apart a particular group of people in the world for the purpose of blessing their neighbors by showing them a different, a better, a more godly, a more human, a more Christ-like way to live. To be chosen by God, to be God's elect, means having a special relationship with God. It means being called into a special mission. It means being given a special purpose in this world. And that is what gives followers of Christ the freedom and the strength they need to resist pressure to fit in. Because you don't have to worry about fitting in when you know you already belong. You don't have to worry about fitting in when you know you already belong. The Christians that Peter's writing to, they're already a part of something bigger than themselves. And it's bigger than their city, and it's bigger than their culture, and it's bigger than their Roman Empire. You don't have to worry about fitting into something when you know who you belong to. They already belong to God. They already belong to God's story. They already belong to God's mission. They already belong to God's people. And this makes all the difference for them. Because they already belong, they don't have to fit in. Which means they can show up in their cities and be who they are. The strange people of God. Chosen by God to make a difference in the world. Not by fitting in. That changes nothing. To make a difference in the world by being different. I wonder, if this message this morning might be something a few of us in this room need to hear. This message, you don't have to worry about fitting in when you know you already belong. I wonder if some of our students need to hear this message as they face tremendous pressure in their schools to conform, to fit in. I wonder if some of our young professionals need to hear this message as you navigate how you make your way in this world and how you get ahead and how you could be successful in this city. I wonder if some of us who live in this neighborhood, in this part of the city, need to hear this message as we face relentless pressure to dress and look and spend our money in a certain way to fit in. How many of us need to hear this message this morning? That you do not have to worry about fitting in when you know you already belong. You do not have to spend your life pretending to be something you're not to get other people to like you so that you'll be accepted, so you can gain their approval, so you feel like you fit in, if you already belong to God. You don't have to apologize for being different. You don't have to apologize to your friends at school, your coworkers, your cranky neighbors, your critics, because you're different because of your allegiance to Christ. You don't have to apologize for not laughing at their jokes, not sharing their politics, not hating the same people they do. No apologies for being different. It's okay to be different. And you're different for a reason, and you're different for a purpose. You're different because you belong to a much older story than the one your school or your company or your nation is telling. You belong to God's story that goes all the way back to the beginning. And so you're different. And you're different for a reason, and you're different for a purpose. We all are. You've been chosen. I've been chosen. We've been chosen and gifted and sent by God into our schools, into our offices, and into our city to make a difference. Not by fitting in, but to make a difference by being different. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to spend some time in this letter from Peter exploring some of the ways God's grace makes us different. But today, may we all hear this truth. This is where it begins. You don't have to worry about fitting in when you know you already belong. And you belong to God. And you belong to God's story and God's mission and God's people. We belong to each other. And this is what gives us the power, the strength, the courage to be different. Let's stand and sing.